Thursday, 11 February 16, broadcast of the Calvary Hour. This is the day that the Lord hath made. We will rejoice and be glad in it. Thanks for tuning into the Calvary Hour. This broadcast is a ministry sponsored by the Calvary Baptist Church, located in New Bern, North Carolina, and I'm Bill Wingard, your host speaker. It's good to be with you today by means of Christian broadcasting, whether it's coming by radio or the internet, or however you're receiving this message. We thank the Lord for it. My heart's burden concerning this is that we'll not just be sharing knowledge, though we do enjoy sharing the precious knowledge of the Word of God, but God's Word is quick and powerful. It's a living Word. My heart's desire is that God will stir our hearts. Now, I have to apologize repeatedly for my hoarseness and for the problem I have with my breathing. I'll not go into that. Those of you who know me, you know that I have been, as you would call, afflicted with some breathing or problems for some time. And I realize that it's very, very unpleasant to listen to. But if you'll bear with us, I would appreciate it so very, very much. In Ezekiel chapter 8, as God explains, or he brings Ezekiel back and shows him why he had to send the children of Israel into captivity, we find that they had the problem with the sins of idolatry. They had a problem with the sins of immorality as well. Those two things go together. They always have and they always will. And so what we're hoping is that God will use his word to keep us out of these sins. You know, as long as a boat is in the water, it's all right. But when the water gets in the boat, you got trouble. The church can be in the world, and that's all right. But when the world gets in the church, you got problems. And we're well aware, are we not, that these battles have been going on ever since God raised up the church. As we said, he activated the church in Acts chapter 2. The church age begins then. And I believe it continues until we get to Revelation chapter 4. And after that comes, of course, a great tribulation period. We personally believe in the pre-tribulation rapture, pre-millennial rapture of the church. Well, in chapters 2 and 3 of the book of Revelation, God writes letters to these seven churches. John writes letters. The Lord, of course, the Holy Spirit is directing him to write them. And that's why we say God sends the letters to the churches, sends them through John. And in five of these churches, we find great problems in these churches that have to be addressed and they have to be rebuked. Two of these churches, the church at Smyrna and the church at Philadelphia, did not have to be rebuked, and we will see why that was. But we said not only are these local churches, and these were individual problems in churches, but also I believe, that these churches represent different segments of the church age, and that these problems are cumulative in the church age, starting out with the church in Ephesus, as we saw in the last broadcast. Oh, and they had so many good things. God had so many good things he could say about that church. But he said, nevertheless, I have somewhat against thee, because thou hast left thy first love. And Father, do bless us now with thy word, I pray, and help us not to leave our first love. Our hearts not grow cold on thee. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Now he says to them, remember therefore from whence thou art fallen, and repent, and do the first works. Get back in love with the Lord, or else I'll come unto thee quickly, and will remove thy candlestick out of his place, except thou repent. Now remember in chapter 1 of Revelation, we are told what the seven stars are. We are told what the seven candlesticks are. And as he speaks about here, removing the candlestick out of his place, he's referring to moving the church out of its place of blessing, out of its place of preeminence. My, if you just go back and read Revelation chapter 1, you'll see what we're talking about here. And how sad it is to see a church that has enjoyed the blessings of God, has been in the midst of the blessings of God, and then their heart grows cold on the Lord, and no longer does God have that church in a prominent place, preeminent place. I'm not talking about numbers, dear friend. I want you to understand that. Though I like to see people come, I like for the church to be filled. Dear friend, if it's five people who are being faithful to God, three people who have been faithful to God, or 300 or 3,000 being faithful to God, that's what really counts. Without faith, it's impossible to please God. For he that cometh to him must believe that he is, and that he is a rewarder of them that diligently seek him. But God wants our hearts to be right with him. Now, I was thinking as the close of the last broadcast, let's just visit a little while here today on this broadcast. What are some of the symptoms? What are some of the indications of the problems of the church at Ephesus having left their first love? Well, I can look at my own life, and I can look at the lives of others as well. Now, we don't have to be judges. We can be fruit inspectors. By their fruits ye shall know them. But when you see in our lives or somebody else's life, folks who have one time, they have been faithfully reading the God's Word. Man, they got saved. They had to get into the Word of God, and they just devoured it. They loved it. But then by and by, they begin to miss some and slip out, and soon, you know, it's just not really important anymore, and the old Bible is gathering dust up on the shelf somewhere. Dear friend, we need the Word of God. We need it every day in our lives. Wise is that man, wise is that woman, that boy or girl that'll start out the day with the precious Word of God so that we can have something to meditate on throughout the day. And so that is one, I believe, of one of the first symptoms of a heart cooling down on God. We don't want to hear from God. You see, that's how we hear from heaven. We hear from heaven. You say, well, I go to church to hear from heaven. Well, thank God if preachers preaching the Word of God. That's just wonderful. But, dear friend, you'll never come any closer to hearing from heaven than you will when you pick up this precious old book, the Holy Bible, in the English language. I'm speaking about the King James Version of the Bible. You pick up this Bible and you pray and ask God to help you to understand it. And you begin to read this blessed old book. And the Spirit of God, who is the author of it, begins to speak to your heart and begins to feed your soul. For the Word of God is milk and meat to our hearts and lives and to our souls. And how important it is. And when we start to neglect that, then we're not hearing from heaven. And secondly, the matter of our prayer life. One time we were praying and we had a consistent prayer life, and now it's kind of hit and miss. And when it becomes hit and miss, you know as well as I do, it's going to become mostly miss. And so then we're not talking to God. Not only are we not hearing from God by reading his word, but we're not even talking to God. We're not praying. We're not accepting his invitation to come boldly into the throne room of grace that we might obtain mercy and find grace to help in time of need. I believe this is where two of the first problems really develop in our heart going cold on God. We stop listening to him with his word. We stop talking to him in our prayers. And then you know what we're going to do? We're going to stop associating with his people. We'll become slack in attending service. You say, was there anything in the Bible about attending church? I believe there is. The Bible says we are not to forsake the assembling of ourselves together, as the manner of some is, but we're to exhort one another, and so much the more as we see the day approaching. I tell folks, I don't go to church because I'm a preacher. I go to church because I want to be with the people of God. I want to be there in the house of God. I want to hear and sing the good songs of Zion. I want to hear the preaching and teaching of God's precious word. I need it. Faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the precious word of God. And dear friend, we need the fellowship of the saints of God. You know, living for Christ is not a lone ranger life. We need one another. We're to come out from among them and be separate from the world, but we're to come in among them and be together with the saints of God. And I see our time is almost gone, but let me just assure you this. God, help us not to grow weary in reading our Bibles. God, help us not to grow weary in having a time for prayer. And God, help us not to become unfaithful in the house of God. Now, I can almost hear somebody saying, preacher, I would to God I could go to church. I'm sick, or I'm in prison, or I have this problem. God understands that, and I understand it. But, dear friend, if you can, you ought to be with the people of God. You ought to find a good, fundamental, Bible-believing church. I didn't say a big one. Now, if a big church is doing is being faithful to God, that's all well and good. But don't judge a horse by its color. Find out what they're teaching. Find out what they're preaching. And by all means, don't depend on some kind of recreational program to guide you or some kind of contemporary Christian music to guide you into a church. Find out if they're preaching the Word of God and seeking to honor him and seeking to lead people to Christ. They're trying to call sinners to repentance and especially edifying the saints of God. Father, I pray that you'd help us to so live for thee. May we not be like the church at Ephesus. May we not leave our first love. In Jesus' name, amen. Please join us next broadcast if you can.